The epistle for the 33rd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from that of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, be imitators of me, and mark those who walk after the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is ruin, their God is their belly, their glory is in their shame. They mind the things of earth. But our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will refashion the body of our lowliness, conforming it to the body of his glory, by exerting the power by which he is also able to subject all things to himself. So then, my brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, stand fast thus in the Lord, beloved. I entreat Evodia, and I exhort Syntyche, to be of one mind in the Lord. And I beseech thee also, my loyal comrade, help them, for they have toiled with me in the gospel, as have Clement and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And the gospel is taken from that according to St. Matthew. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the crowds, behold, a ruler came up and worshipped him, saying, Lord, my daughter has just now died, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she will return to life. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now a woman who for 12 years had been suffering from hemorrhage came up behind him and touched the tassel of his cloak, saying to herself, if I touch but his cloak, I shall be saved. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, take courage, daughter, thy faith has saved thee. And the woman was restored to health from that moment. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a din, he said, begone, the girl is asleep, not dead. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the crowd had been put out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this spread throughout all the district. This are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Alphonsus Liguori points out to us a problem with our human nature. He says that if we've offended another man, it's very hard sometimes to obtain their pardon, to obtain their forgiveness for the wrong we've done to them. But then he contrasts that to God. And he says, on the other hand, if we come to God after having offended him with contrition, with sorrow for our sins, we can be certain that he will forgive us instantly and he will forgive us completely. In the book of Zechariah, we hear the words, turn to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will turn to you. We can ask ourselves, what is this? What does this mean? I will turn towards you. God only turns away from us if we first have turned away from him. If we turn away from God. But he says these words to us. He says, turn to me, and I will turn to you. I will turn to you. We see this example many times of this happening. Of a soul running to God and him forgiving them. We can think about in the New Testament, St. Paul, of course, who had been persecuting Christ. But after becoming sorry, after having contrition for his sins, our Lord welcomes him into the church. He's baptized, becomes a great apostle. We can think about St. Peter, who denied Christ 3 times, but he had contrition for his sins, and so he was received back instantly by our Lord upon his contrition for his sins. But also we can think about the story of the woman who came to Christ, the sinner who came and brought the ointment to anoint his feet with. She was a great sinner. And she stood behind him at his feet. And St. Luke in his gospel says that she began to wash his feet with tears and wiped them with her hair and kissed his feet and then anointed them with oil. Christ spoke then while she was doing this. He spoke to Simon the Pharisee, whose house he was at. He asked him the question. He said, There were two men who owed a creditor. One man owed 500 pence, another man owed 50 pence. Neither one of them could repay it. And so the creditor forgave them both of their debt. And so he asked, who then is more grateful? Who loves the more? And then the Pharisee Simon, he gets it right. He says, the man who more was forgiven. Christ says to Simon, you have judged correctly. And then turning around, turning to the woman at his feet, he says, many sins are forgiven her because she has loved much. Many sins are forgiven her because she has loved much. And then he says to her, thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Turn to me and I will turn towards thee. Christ turns towards this woman and forgives her sins. After she has turned to him, she has approached him with sorrow for her sins, with contrition. This incident happens in the 7th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. In the very next chapter, we hear about the story of the Gospel today. Now, that's in St. Luke's Gospel. We read it in St. Matthew today, but the same account occurs in St. Luke, the chapter after this story of the woman coming to anoint our Lord's feet. What is it? What other connection is there besides this closeness of the two in St. Luke's Gospel? St. Bonaventure gives us a key. He says that the daughter of this ruler who we heard about in today's Gospel, the 12-year-old daughter who has died, represents the soul of a sinner. And so the ruler represents a sinner. This man is the sinner. And his daughter who has died is his soul. So this is for us. This is for us to pay close attention to. If we have sinned, we know we must turn to God. We have to approach God. We have to approach God with confidence. We have to approach him without being afraid, with courage. This is what the ruler shows us today. Look at how he goes to our Lord. He goes to him with confidence, with faith, complete faith in him, in his power to heal his daughter, to raise her back to life. She's dead. She's dead. And this is what happens to our souls when we commit serious sins. They die. But if we turn to Christ, as this ruler did, and if we turn to him with confidence and with contrition, the same will happen for us, for our souls, as happened for this 12-year-old daughter of his. They can be revived, brought back to life. Right in the middle of this account in St. Matthew's Gospel, we have these three verses in which we hear about this story of this woman who had a hemorrhage, the woman with the issue of blood. And it's almost seems as if it was just put in there as an afterthought. It's like, well, here's another story. Let's put this in here too. But it goes right along with the other story in the Gospel of the healing of the daughter, the raising her to life. We see her saying to herself, if I but touch his garment, I shall be healed. Now, our Lord wore a garment according to the law, which had a hem. The Pharisees were accustomed to having large hems on their garments, and they would put thorns in there. They'd put thorns throughout these garments. But Remigius tells us that, he says, the Lord's hem was not made to wound, but to heal. And this is what happens, of course. She touches his garment, and she is cured. And then Christ, turning about and seeing her, said, take courage, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Again, we see these words, turning about. Turn towards me, and I will turn to you. This woman approaches Christ, and he turns to her, and he heals her. He makes her whole. Christ turns to her instantly, too, right? He feels the power going out of him, and he turns to her instantly, and she is cured instantly of her disease, which she had for 12 years. He says to her daughter, take courage, daughter. And St. John Chrysostom says that he calls her daughter because her faith has made her his daughter. Her faith has made her just that, his daughter. But why does he even turn to speak to her at all? This seems like a simple question, but it's an important one for us. Why does Christ even bother to turn towards her? She just came up to him in silence. One of the reasons he did this was in order to, in a certain way, appease her conscience. to appease her conscience. St. John Chrysostom again says that she should not be pricked in her conscience as though she had stolen this boon, as if she had stolen this great gift from God. He turned to her, he acknowledged the fact that he had given it to her, and he desired to give it to her. By his speaking to her, he acknowledged this. And how is this important for us? Well, if we go to the sacrament of confession, it's possible that we could have this feeling of guilt in a certain sense, as if we're stealing something from Christ, as if, once again, we're coming to confession to obtain graces which we are not worthy of. And it's true, we aren't worthy of these graces, the graces which are dispensed to us of forgiveness in the sacrament of confession. We don't deserve them. This lady didn't deserve to be cured. And so it's possible that we could have a certain prick of conscience as well, as she could have had. But just as Christ turned towards her, he also turns towards us. And he, by doing this, shows us his desire that we come to confession, his desire that he give us these graces, that we ask for them, that we approach him so that he can dispense these graces to us. If this woman had not come and approached him, if she had stayed far away, these graces would not have been given to her. If we don't come to the confessional, these graces won't be given to us of healing. If the ruler hadn't approached Christ with this bold request, his daughter would not have been healed. If we don't approach Christ in the confessional, our souls will not be healed. This is the means by which he desires to resurrect the soul of those who have the misfortune of falling into grievous sin, and to make whole the souls which have only venial sins on them. This is the way that Christ desires to do this. The historian Eusebius says something which is interesting. He says that this woman who had this issue of blood, after she went home, she made this monument in front of her house in which she recounted the miracle that had taken place. She just recounted what had happened because it had been such a great thing, such a great gift given to her. She had an external malady and an external healing, and so it was fitting, it was right that there would be some sort of external sign accounting for this miracle. For us, when we go to the confession, the healing that we receive is internal. It's a hidden one, known only to us and to Christ, us and God. And so it's not necessary, and in a way it's probably not good, that we would make some sort of a monument and put it in front of our house in which we explain the great miracle of forgiveness and the healing, the reviving to life sometimes of our souls. We aren't supposed to do this externally, but we should do this internally. We should set up a monument in our hearts in which we recount the miracles of Christ's forgiveness, which he has given to us. Each one of us has them to one degree or another. Even the smallest venial sin, when that is forgiven of us, this is a great miracle, a great healing of a wound in our souls, and it's a healing that we don't deserve, one which is freely given to us by God, freely given by God. He says, "Turn to me, and I will turn to you." He desires that we turn to him, that we approach him for this healing, that we approach the confessional. And so if we have had the misfortune, especially of falling into mortal sin, grievous sin, we should realize that the words of the Curia of Ars, St. John Vianney, he says that if we had two deaths, then we could jettison one of them. We could risk a bad death. But we don't. We only have one chance in this earth. We only have one death to die. And wherever we are, wherever our soul is when we die, that's where it will stay. We're either going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell. And we only have one chance. So let's realize this. And let's realize that the only thing which is keeping us from Christ is our decision. If we have decided to turn our backs on Christ. But if we turn back to Christ, he will turn to us. So take advantage of the confessional. Come to confession, approach Christ, and receive the graces of healing which he wants to give to each one of you. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.